public servants going off the rails, expectations that government is going to address our greatest challenges, and the other signs of our end times. Just some random thoughts at the start of February 2019 in podcast 804, the Bob Davis Podcast. And a lot of these observations, I think, will be evergreen as we go forward. Well, first of all, it's getting cold again. So we went through this beautiful warming period just a few days ago, and now it is starting to get cold again. This wreaks havoc with heating and plumbing systems. So if you have problems, think about Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. More about that later in the podcast. But I want to talk about payment processing. You know, payment processing is great because you get paid faster. I use a company called ReliaFund. I have a ReliaFund button on my website, which allows me to take checks from clients. And it's great to be able to say, hey, I can take a check through the website. And that's what I wanted ReliaFund for. They can develop a custom solution for your company so that you can get paid faster. If you're a developer and you're developing websites or back office systems for clients, listen up, because ReliaFund loves to work with developers and they can help you customize sites, and they want to be the recommended payment processor for you developers. So what is ReliaFund? R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D. ReliaFund is a payment processor that's been providing integrated solutions. So that means creative solutions that integrate with systems, all kinds of systems, to get payments cleared for more than two decades. You may find that some of these payment processors can be used, but the question is, do they integrate with your banking? Do they integrate with your systems? Do they integrate with what you've got in terms of your public face, your website, etc.? So this is a question for developers, but if you're a business person, this is also something you have to take in, when you're figuring out what you want to do. This is why ReliaFund is highly recommended as a payment processor. Again, no long-term contracts. They're secure. They're creative. They will help you integrate your payment processing solutions through all of your systems. They are technology focused. 866-243-5040. 866-243-5040. Check them out online at ReliaFund.com, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. January was a crazy, crazy busy month at the Bob Davis Podcast, and I took some days off there at the end of January during that huge cold snap, and then it got warm during the weekend, so I just kind of hung out and rested all weekend and Monday, that last first couple of days of February. And I realized today it is time to get back on the horse, the podcast horse. And amidst all this, you know, continuing to kind of scan, although I had to hold myself back from reading and, you know, just to rest from the turmoil and press of content creation that sucks the marrow out of your bones. So every now and then I do these enforced things where I just don't engage, and I continue to monitor social media because I have to, but I kind of stay out of it. But in the process, I also kept kind of keeping track on my phone of what was going on. And boy, there is some heavy turmoil and heavy energy out there right now. It's almost, and continues to be, if it could get more surreal than it is, I would be shocked. And yet I know it will. And I often talk about that in these podcasts. So we have all of this turmoil in Washington over the proposed emergency that the president probably won't or probably will declare, depending on who you listen to, the State of the Union message, which, you know, I still think that we need a modern president who just simply sends it over in an email format. And it's turned into this ridiculous ritual of giving yourself credit, and it's all about me standing up there, and it's so depressing, the whole thing. And of course, the sports freaks and the people who, you know, care about football, watch the Super Bowl or didn't watch the Super Bowl. Maybe they left halfway through the game. And now the political freaks and the Twitter cesspool universe takes center stage to attack or defend whatever the president says. And I don't even want to talk about the State of the Union message because it's silly to even discuss it. Meanwhile, we have the Virginia governor, who is probably one of the most – this is one of the most bizarre sequences of events that I think I've ever seen, that, again, something somebody did or didn't do 50 years ago turns into a huge issue because of the 2 minutes of outrage that now is the 2 minutes of rage, not outrage, but 2 minutes of rage that is now the political biosphere in this country. And then finally, we have a bunch of local mayors getting arrested for various incidences of running amok, whether it is the mayor of Dayton, Minnesota, alleged to have stolen money from some kind of community, celebration fund, or another one in, I think it's Rice, who was arrested for allegedly attempting to drive a school bus drunk. And that is the, and that's just a minor sampling of the current, activity of the reprobates we refer to as officials, you know, elected officials. And it has this almost royal sound. Well, so-and-so, a public official in such-and-such a place, it makes it sound like something that we should be holding above us. And yes, they are running amok. Seemingly, and this is my editorial, conclusion, although I'm sure that other people have come to the same conclusion, in my opinion, seemingly not dealing with the biggest political and potential problems that we face. They're not all political problems. They will become political problems because we're not dealing with them. When you see an article in the New York Times that says that the Democrats now see an agenda at risk over really a ham-handed and amateurish effort by the current Virginia governor, a Democrat, to hang on to his job after he's just made the whole scandal with blackface and Ku Klux Klan uniforms and the lieutenant governor being accused of sexual assault by the same and represented the complainant is represented by the same lawyer that represented the woman that charged Justice Kavanaugh before he was confirmed with whatever he supposedly did or didn't do. It's insane, and it is running amok. And my question is whether it is a failure. And if it is a failure, I mean a complete failure of government, that we have all been raised in this country except for probably the Gen Zs and the Gen Ys. For the most part, most of the people in this country have been raised with this faith that our government will function, that our flag was still there despite the bombs bursting in air, that we will muddle through somehow and prevail. And I'm beginning to wonder whether this government that we have all been raised to be patriotic to and to believe in is really failing. And it has all the symbols to me of a failing system, whether it's a company that goes out of business because they just stopped doing what worked, or it is the public equivalent. And the cost of the failure and how big the failure is have yet to be determined. I suppose you could argue, no, it's just business as usual. It's been this way. You know, look at Huey Long, look at the mayor of Chicago, look at people that have been put, you know, governors of Louisiana who have been in jail and everything else. This is just the way politics is, and this is why we constructed a system where when it functions at its most efficient, it doesn't do anything. It just makes a lot of noise. It's just that we used to not pay attention to these things. And now we hang on every word that comes out of Washington and every word that is written or said about politics as though it's the most important thing in the world. I don't know. Honestly, it is hard to tell. I couldn't tell you whether whether it is or it isn't. I simply ask it as a question you know, biggest problems for the United States going forward and really the world. These are the big, this is a short list, a quick list of the biggest problems that we face that we're not addressing except on the periphery. A rising China and by extension, a rising Asia, where you have billions of people who are being brought out of poverty largely because of the help and the patronage of the United States. And now China in particular is getting involved in Venezuela. It's getting involved in Africa. It's getting involved in the Caribbean, getting involved in what we would consider to be parts of you know, our sphere of influence for the United States. That is a huge challenge. And piddling around with trade you know, issues, while it is politically edifying, doesn't necessarily address this issue of a rising China. Maybe it will. Maybe someday people will look back and say, you know, it was that president that really addressed this problem with a rising China militarily and politically and financially by addressing the trade issues. It's hard to tell. Again, I'm not making an editorial judgment. I'm saying this should be on everyone's mind, to be quite honest with you. The second one that is probably unexpected is artificial intelligence, and that is the idea that computers basically would eventually become self-aware and sentient. You know, being able to function and build for themselves whatever they needed in the world. And the truth is, between sentient machines or artificial intelligence and robotics, this is a really big deal. Scientists just recently invented a self-aware robot that is capable of operating on its own without any instructions in a major scientific breakthrough. Now, this doesn't mean we're going to have, you know, a scenario where we have robots running around that look like people or dominating us or anything else. But I think it is interesting that the most basic explanation of this story is that they came up with this this arm. They invented this arm, they built it, and then they gave it artificial intelligence and didn't tell it anything. And within an hour, it had figured out what it was supposed to do. So the idea is, by extension, you could put robots on a factory floor with artificial intelligence and walk out and turn the lights off. And within a week or two, it would, given a task, it would figure out how to do it the most efficient way. So the idea is that in the old days, you would build an assembly line with robots that would replace human beings that were pretty efficient, right? Because they work 24 hours a day and they don't ask for anything. This is completely different. This is putting, you know, basically unboxing the machines and putting them in the middle of the floor and saying, you guys figure out what you need to make this. And then they do it. And this is a huge development in terms of many, many things. And so the rise of artificial intelligence, robotics, the internet, the international worldwide web, which functions as a brain and a nervous system, all these things coming together are a huge, huge issue going forward. You know, there have been some attempts to address it on the periphery. There have been some House and Senate hearings. States try to figure out how they can, you know, get companies to move into their, you know, cities to provide people with jobs, but yet nobody knows what jobs they're going to provide, and so on and so on. I said to somebody the other day that I believe that within 50 years, we will all be corporations and manufacturing per se, and I would say almost any kind of manufacturing, any kind of manufacturing process, from farming, which is agriculture, it really is an industry, but okay, farming, all the way up through almost every form of manufacturing will be done by machines. Human beings won't necessarily have to touch it, and we will have to function as software human beings, and we will increasingly be competing with very, very efficient and intelligent software and combined with hard systems that do specific things, whether it's farming or build things or fly things or drive things. And I just think that this is a huge issue And nobody's talking about it because we're too busy being part of the new 2 minutes of hate, where people get outraged and scream and yell and pound and point fingers. And we go down these rabbit holes of outrage over something somebody said or did at some stupid game or in some stupid state, whether they did it 30 years ago or whether they did it yesterday or said it, you know, Liam Neeson and today's person that has caused everyone to get upset. And wow, it's beyond belief. As a quick aside, there's a story that says that, in fact, I got to find this because I think this is great. If you're often angry or irritable, you might be depressed. Angry or irritable, doesn't that describe the entire United States? Finally, we should talk about inequality as an economic and political issue. And I don't mean to say that I am thinking in one way or another about inequality. I'm saying that inequality as a political issue, as a social issue, as an economic issue, and how to address it is one of the biggest issues of our times. Again, we are trying to address it on the peripheries. It is brought up if it has some sort of populist economic appeal, but in terms of actually addressing it, what is it? How is it caused? Is it bad? Is it good? What does it mean? Nobody's talking about that in a balanced fashion. And I guess the fourth issue is the effects of technology and advanced communications on our society related to this question of psychological impact, almost psychological warfare on people, where the battle space, the fighting space, is actually the human mind. The Russians have supposedly just developed this weapon that makes the targets ill and causes them to hallucinate, and they vomit and are nauseous and hallucinate so that they can't do their jobs effectively. I wonder whether that's kind of what is happening to us, where we are so manipulated emotionally constantly by all these things that seemingly have no central cause, that we are becoming ineffective. So I mentioned Brian Plumbing and Heating earlier when I talked about these systems that we all have in our home, which are actually pretty complex. Your furnace is going to go out when it's 30 below. Mine did, actually, this time again. And, you know, we got it going again, but these are all issues whether you want to have it serviced before it gets cold or whether you have problems. Now, when my furnace went down, we were literally a half an hour away from a major crisis in this house because it was really cold. And I've told all my friends that we went from 75, 76, 77 degrees upstairs to 62. I was taking a nap and I got up and I was like, whoa, what happened to about 62, 61, 60 degrees in the upstairs? Downstairs, you could see your breath in the basement. So we were very close to having the pipes freeze. And this is at 2 o'clock in the morning. So once everybody got here and got things under control, I went upstairs. This is about 5 or 6 in the morning, and I turned the kitchen sink on, and the pipe was frozen. So fortunately, I had some space heaters, and I was able to heat it up. And eventually, by about 8 o'clock, we got that out. But the reason I'm telling you about this is because, and I'm going on way too long, but one of the guys from the gas company said, we get 3 or 4 frozen houses that we have to go into 3 or 4 different times of year. And here's the thing. It's a disaster worse than a fire. A frozen house. So if your pipes go out, if your furnace goes out and your house freezes, you know, it's going to blow up walls. It's going to buckle floors. It's going to, split door frames. It's going to break doors. It's going to break windows. It's going to cause all kinds of problems, ruin appliances to the point where the house is basically totaled. You do not want that. And that is why you got to think about keeping these systems running right at home or your business when you have plumbing or heating problems, or you think you're going to. You want reliable service. That means Ryan Plumbing and Heating. I've been advertising these guys for years. They are on it. Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, you call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, you call 612-927-6488. They go back 4 generations in Frogtown. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Ryan Plumbing at ryanplumbing.com, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. So we talked about what I feel is a failure of our system to address major issues that we should get ahead of: trade wars, immigration, regional powers like Russia, Turkey, India, Pakistan, Iran, North Korea, becoming powerful enough that they begin to project power into places like Venezuela and the Middle East and the East. And we seem to be confused about how to respond to these things. And again, populism as a tool, as a political tactic, doesn't come close to addressing these kinds of problems, because it doesn't enable you to think through the problem. Our focus is getting smaller and smaller. It is getting more inward, and it seems to me that our leaders don't lead. As I said, I don't even care about what the State of the Union message is. It is all nonsense to me. It is all politics. It is essentially an illusion, like Super Bowl hoopla or an overhyped holiday season. Overhype for almost everything, whether it's a Virginia governor's embattled situation or somebody running for president a year and a half before anybody starts campaigning, or a crazy president running around, using Twitter and watching Fox News all day, and then, again, not even addressing whether I agree or disagree, or you disagree or agree with what this president does. The hoopla and the controversy and the 2 minutes hate every day about whatever he or she does puts the focus on Washington, to the extent people don't realize this, but you think, okay, where are all the millionaires, right? Where are all the millionaires? The second highest place in terms of a concentration of millionaires in this country. And millionaire is not that big of a deal, right? If you get a job that you get paid six figures and you save your money and investment and buy a house, well, you're a millionaire, right? Washington, D.C. now has the highest concentration of millionaires. And I'm willing to bet that it is mostly government employees who have invested their, quote unquote, meager salaries over the years. And it's because lobbyists and the people who support government make so much money, and the technology and the companies built to serve government are so lucrative. People make so much money doing that. Yeah, Washington, D.C. So all roads lead to Rome. So no, I do not want to hear the State of the Union, Sam, because of all this overhype. I mentioned Liam Neeson, who's another one of these stars who said something that could be considered racial. And now he has to apologize and run around and talk about how he's not a racist and everything else. It is on and gone, comes back, and there's some new outrage later, and we have our 2 minutes of rage over it, and we move on. I've talked about this for years, and this is what is causing people to struggle. I really believe this, and I mean struggle with mental health. Mental health is becoming the chief issue. You know, if you think that the government is supposed to help people be happy, if we built this government so that individual human beings could be sovereign and happy, every man lives in a castle of his own, every man is the king of his own territory, if we built this system to keep government away from people and to prevent royal governments from impressing their will on people and ruining lives, then we have failed at this point to do that, because we can't get away from it. It is everywhere. It is constantly engaging, and someone somewhere or something is permanently angry and upset. Someone somewhere or something is permanently shunned, and we have all these bruises and scars that never go away. And then we have all this scar tissue, month after month, year after year, all this outrage and hate building up because of something somebody said or did, or some idiot politician. That is scar tissue that impedes flexibility and our ability to move, to maneuver, and act. And that, my friends, is extremely dangerous for the continuing success and survival of any nation. Who's at fault? wouldn't want to issue blame, because that's in itself partisan. I'm just telling you, this is becoming a critical problem. Everyone is at fault, and yet no one is at fault. People are taking positions built on sand, and 2 days later, the whole thing collapses, and they have to pivot to something else, and hopefully everyone will forget what was said. This is governance. This is talking about issues. This is solving problems. Really? And in the end, everything starts to collapse. Nothing makes sense. And I have to say, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, that I feel the energy. I feel this weird, I don't know how to explain it. I feel, and I don't know whether it's me or whether it is other people, but I feel this weird sense of magnetism, and that's probably the wrong word, but this weird sense of intensity, and I don't know what it is. It's just this combination of confusion and frustration, and I know where it comes from because I know I'm very aware of what is coming in and going out of my body and my brain, and I am certainly enthused about the things that I'm doing personally. I don't want to, you know, say that I'm not enthused or excited about my business or sitting down and doing a podcast or anything else. I'm talking about the confusion and frustration and irritability that seems to be present in a lot of people. And I mean, I run in a world where, you know, we kind of clear that every day by physical exercise or a physical regime, so to speak, which is what yoga is. It's a physical meditation. Some people do other things. So I find people in the fitness community kind of clear it. But then when I go out and I start talking to people, I just see this seething anger that people don't know what to do with it. They don't know where to put the confusion and the frustration, and yet it keeps coming at us. And we're not even in a crisis in this country. Maybe we do need a crisis that will focus everyone and we all settle down and start working on solving problems. There's a sense that we have to let events take their course. There seems to be nothing else to do because trying to stay, you know, current with what is going on and listening to all these people advocate and make demands and defend and tell you why you're wrong if you think this or that is what's causing all of this anger and irritability. And if you take the view of the psychologists, this is what actually causes depression. In fact, people who are depressed and are just constantly irritable and on edge all the time usually don't think they're depressed. They think that they're just angry about something, but it's anger that eats away at your sense of well-being and is part of, I wouldn't even call it the new depression. I would say it's my own personal experience is all of that anger is a precursor to being depressed. And so finally, let's talk about real depression. Let's talk about what an economic recession / depression would actually look like. More and more people writing about global debt, which could easily reach $500 trillion in a few years. We have a fact that the mortgage crisis debt triggered the last recession. But most importantly, it took years to get out of the last recession. And the next recession will also be as difficult because we are piling debt upon debt upon debt. And the thing people don't realize about debt is that it has to eventually be liquidated in some way, shape, or form. So if you liquidate because of politics, so if you liquidate by doing something like devaluing the dollar, which is what Richard Nixon did, you have ongoing costs that affect society. And there are many, 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 many things going on because of that. If we have a recession depression that is worldwide, and there's evidence we may, regardless of whatever economic policy is currently being employed by this president, which I would argue is not appreciably different from economic policies going back to Republican and Democrat presidents several years. So if you take the view President Kennedy's tax cut, which is still, I believe, the largest tax cut in modern history, then going back to Democrat presidents, we have been piddling around with taking people's money and giving it back to them, you know, over the years. And these are not appreciably different economic policies. I know that there are partisans that will say, well, Obama, you know, and Clinton would have done it and this and that. But in the broad scope of history, we are still essentially using Keynesian economic concepts to continue to prop up the status quo, because if we lose the status quo, the results would be catastrophic socially and politically in this country. We really would see the entire system being threatened. I believe we eventually will, and I think what we do at that moment is going to determine our future as a nation. Well, we'll just have to wait and see, right? Two things I want to say before the end of this podcast, podcast 804. You know, all my printing needs are taken care of by Cartridge World in Maple Grove, because these big box retailers, when it comes to print cartridges, are just basically highway robbers. Cartridge World in Maple Grove can save you up to 30% compared to the big box stores. They say their cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new. I think they're better than new. Free delivery on qualifying orders. They are in Maple Grove off of Weaver Lake Road between Dairy Queen and Subway. 763-420-6632, or click on the beautiful Cartridge World banner at the top of the page at the Bob Davis Podcasts. Same goes for Alpha Systems. So, you know, it's cold right now. I can't wait till summer, because that is the air show. And if you are interested in going to the EAA air show, then you're a pilot, or you love a pilot. And if you want that person to be safe on takeoffs and landings, let me tell you something. The Alpha Systems angle of attack indicator saves lives. This is why the owner of the company designed this AOA, because it saves lives. Click on the Alpha Systems banners at the top of the page for more info about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcast.com. They will see you at the air show in Oshkosh this summer. Finally, if you're looking to get the podcasts, check out Spotify. If you have an Android device, I'm going to tell you, I think Spotify is probably the best choice. Stitcher.com, iTunes, of course, the granddaddy of podcast syndication. TuneIn, which also works with Alexa, Google Play, which will work with the Google stuff, and Blog Talk Radio and more. And of course, right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. I appreciate the likes. I appreciate the favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter, but what really helps my podcast are shares and recommendations. So thank you for doing that, and thanks for your donations for Mobile Podcast Command at thebobdavispodcast.com. A train is coming, so the studio is rumbling. It is time for me to go. Thanks for listening to Podcast 804. Let's see what happens. It's the end.